You're listening to Fab FM. I'm Paul Makin. It is time now for our music special that we have every Wednesday night on Fab FM. And I love putting these together. I love my music, all sorts of music, but tonight it is truly special. Tonight we feature John Farnham. And John, of course, has a connection to Port Douglas. He has a beautiful boat moored at the marina called Phantom, and Phantom goes out on charters. I've had the fortune, just been honoured to go out on Phantom and had a great day on the reef. Spectacular crew John has on Phantom. They really look after you. Anyway, he certainly has a connection with Port Douglas. He loves coming up to this region. He loves his fishing, and he goes out on Phantom to do that. But tonight we look at the music of John Farnham. And I can truly, I know a lot of people, you say, oh, you know, he's a friend of mine. But truly, John is a friend. Now, we met in the 70s when he came to Adelaide on a few gigs. We certainly met up then and we did a few TV stuff, items together, you know, segments. But it was 1987. And although I handled this in the special tonight and it'll come up again, but I'll just tell you first before we get stuck into it. But in 1987, I was working for a radio station in Adelaide called 5AA, and they're a talkback station. It is 1987. In walks, in fact, I was on the air at the time, and I saw John Farnham walk in with his friend and manager, Glenn Wheatley, and they were heading down to the program manager's office. And after I finished my shift, they were still down there, so I went down there and had a chat to them. And they said, look, we've got this great album, Paul, and, you know, we're trying to get people to play it. Now, they realised that we were a talk station, not a music station, but they wanted to know whether we could play some of the tracks from Whispering Jack, the album. Now, that was a defining moment, really a defining moment, I think, in Australian music. I'll go as far as to say that. What an amazing album was Whispering Jack. And here they were hawking it around to the different radio studios. Now, I know that the program manager at the time, when the guys left, said, oh, that's Johnny Farnham. You know, who's interested in listening to music from Johnny Farnham? He did Sadie the Cleaning Lady, for goodness sake. Anyway, I grabbed the album and I went down to a quiet spot. And I listened to it. When I listened to the tracks off that album, I just said to myself, this is going to be massive. This, if people can actually hear this album and it doesn't get, you know, put away on the, you know, on the back burner or up on the shelf gathering dust at these radio stations that play music, this thing will be a monster. So I contacted Glenn and John and I told them that. I said, look, we're a talk station, but I'm going to play this thing. I'm going to play every track on this thing over the coming week. And that's exactly what I did. And the response was amazing. Our switchboard went into meltdown. How do they buy this album? And, you know, and then suddenly the music stations who weren't playing it, and a lot of them didn't, suddenly a couple of the music directors and program managers were going, hey, we've got to put this on air. This is pretty damn good. And as it gathered momentum and people started listening to the tracks, the other radio stations that had snubbed little Johnny Farnham, now John Farnham, were saying, maybe we made a blue here. I think we need to get this on the air. And, of course, once it did, it was a monster. It just went and went. It just gathered momentum. And so I look at, in some very small way, I'm glad I was able to help John and Glenn help and them launch Whispering Jack in my own small way. So from that moment on, we've been mates. And I can remember my son when he was only very young. He probably would have been 13 or so. He and I went to Sydney on a bit of a bonding trip. And there was John Farnham at the airport. My son went, oh, there's John Farnham. And I said, yeah, I know John. And he said, oh, Dad, come on, you don't know John. I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll come over. And, of course, he was very perceptive. He saw I was with my son and obviously wanted to impress my son. So John gave me the biggest hug and went, Paul, how are you, mate? Oh, and he looked down at my son and said, mate, this guy, he helped me with Whispering Jack. You know, and, of course, my son, from that moment on, that was, talk about bonding, my son did. Dad, do you know John Farnham? And of course, so we've been mates for a long time. So when I was doing this music special, I did ask John if he would come on the air and help me with the music special, and he agreed to. Not live, I'll tell you now, I'm not talking to him live, but he agreed to a recorded phone interview. Now, tonight I'm presenting part of that phone call and that terrific long interview, which I will play another time on Fab FM, the complete interview from beginning to end, which you will find so fascinating, because John tells stuff that he hasn't told any other person or journalist or radio announcer ever. So it's a terrific long interview, and I will present that on Fab FM at some time in the future. But tonight I'm taking some clips from that interview to present the special on John Farnham tonight. So let's get underway as I say good evening to the one and only John Farnham.
John!
Mate, how you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very well indeed. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Mate, it's nice to hear your voice, and I just can't even express to you how grateful I am for you to do this.
No need, my friend. Look, you started this. You helped me first. This is easy for me.
All right. Well, let's go.
When you're ready,
mate.
Here
we go.
I've been a fool. But it's
Now, your first real success came with Sadie. Now, I know in your performances today, you do a few bars of that and have a little bit of a send-up. But I really want to ask you, is it a song that you try to forget? I feel there's a fondness for Sadie by the Australian public. Do you have that, or please don't talk to me about it.
I love that song. Look, if it wasn't for Sadie the Cleaning Lady, I wouldn't be around. That's a fact. And you know, I take great joy in still performing it. And I do have a little bit of fun with it. And I kind of play with the audience and they think I get upset. And of course I don't. But look, I've recorded better songs. Not the best song I've ever recorded.
No, that's for sure.
Yes. Having said that, it still has an incredible place in my heart. And if I'm ever asked to sing it when I work, I really don't have a problem with it. I don't dislike the song. I don't dislike what it did for me. And you know, it has a real gentle, soft place in my heart.
Sadie, the cleaning lady, with trusty scrubbing brush and pail of water, worked her fingers to the bone for the life she had at home, providing at the same time for her daughter. Ah, Sadie, the cleaning lady, her aching knees not getting any younger. Well, her red detergent hands have for years not held a man's, and time would find her heart expired of hunger. Oh, scrub your floors, do your chores, dear old Sadie. Looks as though you'll always be a cleaning lady.
You change your name to John Farnham from Johnny Farnham. You sign up with your good mate Glenn Wheatley in 1980. And, of course, Glenn, bass guitarist for Masters Apprentices, just a sensational band. You bring out the single Help. It's released. I think, John, Help was a defining moment in your career. Do you agree?
Absolutely, totally with you. It was interesting the way it happened. I wasn't doing a great deal. I was still working around the place, but not a great deal. And for some reason, my darling wife decided that I needed a piano, and I can't play the piano. I play by ear. I'm a She called me the claw. You know, I just get this claw happening. Right. Anyway, long story short, obviously, like most people around my age, were completely besotted and completely and utterly taken with what the Beatles did and how they changed music in general. I mean, they really, really made a difference. And one of my favourite songs was obviously Help. And frankly, I couldn't play it quick enough to do their version, so I made up my own. And I decided that Peter Feynman came to me and asked me to do Sydney Opera House with Olivia Newton-John and Helen Reddy and all these folks, and he asked me to come on this thing, and I was because I wasn't doing terribly much around the place, mightily flattered by. And he said, "I want you to sing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree."
Yeah, sure.
Basically, I said, "Yeah, sure." Anyway, I said, "Look, Peter, I've got this version of the Beatles that I'd really like to do, and I just love to do it, you know." Anyway, long story short, I sent him a copy of it. Peter called me and said, "No, we want you to do Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. This is too different." And I said, "Well, I won't do the show then, because I'd really like to do something that I've chosen, how I felt about it." And I said, "I understand, and I'm completely okay with it, but I really don't want it. I'm not a bad song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree, humongous hit, but I didn't want to sing it." Anyway, he relented.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, very unusual for Feynman, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
And he came up to me after the show and blew me away. And to his absolute credit, he said, "You were right and I was wrong," in those very words, and knocked me out. I mean, I love Peter. He was an incredible influence on me, because I used to work the Graham Kennedy Show and the Don Lane Show and the show, all those shows. And he really helped through all that stuff, and they used to give me a lot of airtime. It was very hard for me to go against what he felt, but he was kind enough to give me credit for it, which was nice.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now those days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling
Then, of course, John Farnham joined the Little River Band, his LRB days, and they weren't, how can we put this, he was kind of like a square peg in a round hole with the Little River Band. Never quite the perfect fit, because John Farnham, I guess, was this front man, really, and then they were trying to keep him harnessed, so to speak, and John certainly explains that. But the Little River Band, gee whiz, not the best time in John Farnham's career and life.
I felt a little bit restricted. I found this out after I left the band, about 2-3 years after I left the band. John Henderson, who does my my side of stage sound, he puts in my ears what I need to hear so I can sing. And he said to me, we were sitting around one night having a beer, and he told me, you know, you used to get your mic used to get shortened. And I said, what do you mean? And on the first tour of America, and it happened 2 or 3 times on tours after that, and I had no idea. I was, you know, we'd go, Little River Band, and I'd walk on the stage and pick up my microphone and try to run to the other end of the stage to work the audience or just, you know, out of sheer energy. And I'd come to the end. You know, like that dog in the cartoon that hits the end of the chain?
Yeah.
Well, that happened to me so many bloody times. Fortunately, I didn't fall over. But and I think I'd look down and I'd have about 8 feet of mic lead. So I'd just, and it'd be taped to the ground with like copious amounts of gaffer tape. So I'd just think, oh, silly buggers, they'd tape me on and I'd rip it out. And then I'd be all over the stage. I'd be able to work the place and
yeah,
do what I do. And this went on for the whole tour and then the next tour and the tour after that. And I finally found out that Graham Goble in particular, who I have great respect for as a songwriter, but Graham Goble in particular had a problem with the fact that I used to run up and down the stage, so he said to Hendo, shorten his leash, which I think is kind of neat.
He still didn't stop you, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
All right. Well, listen, it's 1986. Glenn Wheatley bets it all with Whispering Jack. So do you. He mortgages his house because he believes in you. Now, John, I can remember you and Glenn coming into 5AA with a copy of that album.
I remember it vividly too, mate. I really do.
I was doing the breakfast show, and although we were a talkback station, I started playing tracks from the album.
Yep.
Now, you guys just went out wearing out shoe leather and tried to get anyone to play it. You knew it was great, but you needed to convince the radio jocks, right?
That's true. What happened was, when it was very first released, when it was sent out to all the radio stations, because, you know, people tend to form an idea of who you are or what you are or what you might be or what you think you might be, and without really knowing you, if you will. And Sadie, as much as I love her, was a huge, you know, I was blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pretty, or so my wife tells me. and so, you know, there was a bit of stigma to what I'd done before for some reason.
Little Johnny Farnham.
Yeah, basically that was right. And so the record was released in a plain wrapper with no name on it. And everyone was wondering where it came from, and it slowly got picked up. When that started to happen, the record company decided that I could go out there and be overt about it. And that surprised a lot of people and kind of created a momentum for it.
Well, it was amazing, John, because when I played that album and I went in and just in privately just sat down and I heard songs like Pressure Down, You're the Voice, Reasons, Touch of Paradise, I just went, oh my God, how good is this album? And it just had to be played.
Thank you, mate. I have to say, I mean, I've been very lucky look, you haven't got anything if you haven't got a song. You know what I mean? And You're the Voice was such a great song. Paradise, I mean, gee, what a great song. Pressure Down is a good song. I mean, it's good. They're good songs, and it doesn't matter how well you do what you do. I mean, even if you sweep floors, if you haven't got a good broom, you're not going to do a very good job of it.
No.
It comes down to the material in the long run. And I must say, I got You're the Voice about 2 weeks before the end of the recording of the album. I heard the demo and I said to Wheatley, this is mine. I want this song. This is mine.
Down the barrel of a gun.
course, it's hard to fit everything in when you're doing a special on John Farnham, but he's become one of Australia's top iconic. He's iconic, an iconic performer, and just a wonderful, wonderful performer. But as we finish up tonight, I'd just like to say, John has, as I said, has become a friend, and Glenn Wheatley, Glenn and I have had some great conversations as well. Those two are absolutely they're like brothers. They're not brothers, but it is as if they are brothers. You know, when you find a friend in your life that's got your back, I mean, really a good friend, and you generally can only count those people on one hand and probably only need probably one or two fingers, if you know what I mean. But Glenn and John are close. Glenn has helped John out at times. John has helped Glenn out at times. And when one or the other has been in a bit of strife, either financially or emotionally, they've come to each other's aid. And that is, in my book, a true friend. And you don't get many of those, folks, and you would know that. So John Farnham, really thanking him so much for having a chat to me. As I said, this is part of a longer interview that I'll present on Fab FM at another time. But talk about treasuring the time I spent with John Farnham talking about his music. It is just wonderful.
Mate, any time, Paul. And if I can help you in any way or do it again, just let me know. Well, let Wheatley know, and he'll let me know, and then I'll say no, and he'll say, oh, John's fishing.
Thanks, mate.
I'll talk to you soon, Paul. Thank you, my friend.